Greetings, gentlemen. I am sure that many of you have caught wind vis-a-vis videos and just online media that popped up less than 2 weeks ago titled, "Men, Where Have You Gone? Please Come Back." So many men have retreated from intimacy, hiding behind firewalls, filters, curated personas, dabbling and scrolling. We miss you. Now, the long and short of the article is basically you have this 50-something, I think she's 54, your old divorcee woman who dated up the wazoo in the 80s. She's got a kid or two, and she's engaging in kind of love, eat, pray, thought processes, and blah, blah, blah. Men are no longer available, and they're running away, and this sort of thing. And a number of people already covered this, Better Bachelor, as well as such luminaries as Sargun of Dakar. And the commentary is basically what you could expect from such an article regarding the manosphere. It's, basically, men are no longer wanted the way they used to be wanted by such women and blah, blah, blah. Standard fare, basically. But I thought a different angle, and I will post a link to the article in case you haven't read it. It's really just a bunch of useless claptrap, and I wouldn't even recommend reading it, neither here nor there. I will post a link. But a different perspective here is really to delve rather deeply into certain phrases that might be related to a broader perspective on how women interact with men and more broadly the world. I think everyone in the manosphere, and certainly my subs, has heard of the phrase, "it's just your turn." Now, for those of you who don't know what the phrase, "it's just your turn," means, it basically means she's having her fun now with you, but eventually it'll be over and she'll move on. Essentially, in a nutshell, different ways of interpreting it slightly, but that's what it means, right? And this is a very important thing to note down, because it speaks to a much broader perspective and analysis of how women think about the world in general, not just relationships. Women, on average, tend to have much more fantastical, much more reality-removed perspectives on the world. They are, on average, more superstitious, more religious. They're just more detached from reality than men are, on average, right? And this doesn't just include weird fanfic stuff, although it certainly does, and we can talk about it, and we have talked about this, but also how they interact with people on a day-to-day basis, not just romantic relationships. It could be their siblings, their parents, their friends, especially their female friends. Because you have, on the one hand, what actually exists and persists in reality, the thing standing before your eyes or the thing that you're hearing within earshot, right? That is what actually is. And then you have a second model, in my view, that women naturally are inclined to sort of develop and partake in, which is a kind of idealized, in their own mind, ideal for them, what they want, idealized version of what things should be. This idealized version is then superimposed upon what is the actual extant version as it exists in reality, as I said. And that's where you run into problems, and that's where women run into problems. Again, not just applicable to romantic relationships, although that's obviously probably the most prominent example, but also friendships between women. Susie didn't call me on my birthday, and she did X, Y, and Z, and it turns out Susie was in a car accident or something, and this sort of thing. Women are very good at, I would say, for lack of a better term, imaginary confection. So they just have these wild running fantasies in their head about how things are supposed to be vis-a-vis other people as it applies to their person. And then that's how they react, right? It's not, Bob said X, I react to this. It's more like I have a subconscious expectation that I'm only partially aware of, but nonetheless deeply influences me and propels me forward. I have this expectation of what Bob is supposed to be saying. And if what he says doesn't 100% or even 120% line up with what I imagine it should be, there's a problem. Now, I want to bring it back to relationships briefly, because it's just your turn is an extension of that. No matter how attractive you might be, and it's obvious, if you're very attractive, you're going to have more luck, more interest, all these sorts of things. But we also have examples from back in the days, just Brad Pitt. And Brad Pitt, although he's aged out now, was still in pretty good shape and looking pretty good when Angelina Jolie decided to go crazy on him and decided to divorce him, right? So it doesn't matter who you are. Eventually, the woman will get tired of you. Are there exceptions? Sure. But exceptions just confirm the rule. There's no point in talking about exceptions. Although so many people always harp on these exceptions. You know, the famous, but I know a woman who's 6'5". Well, yeah, but that is not typical by any means, by any stretch. Just an example. I've actually heard that, by the way, as a counter to women are X or women are this height. Anyway, women are just very, very fickle. And their fickleness stems in large measure from this imaginary superimposition they have on reality vis-a-vis their thoughts. And it's probably related to hormones and other things, but it is a facet and important aspect of female psychology. This is why women, on average, tend to break up with men more frequently than men do with women. The divorce rates are higher. Yes, people will say it's because men cheat more often, and men do cheat more often. But that is not the sole reason why divorce occurs, despite what people claim. Oftentimes, it's just he wasn't doing X, Y, Z. That spark was just not there anymore, that sort of thing. These sort of imaginary, fictitious confections that I've talked about that often afflict women and deeply affect their relationships with all sorts of people. And the man, on the other hand, lives in one area of reality, you know, actual reality. And the woman does partly as well, but she has this added layer, right? And this is why women can so get into things like crazy fan fiction involving very weird scenarios where straight men behave as if they were gay, but then they're still straight, sort of, and behave like women, but then they're still straight, all in order to make it understandable and relatable to women. And they get used to that and think that's the way things should be. You know, again, superimposing a fiction in their minds onto reality. And this, to my mind, is the biggest source of relationship instability, broadly speaking, over the long term. You know, there are other things, there are other hiccups, you know, cheating, whatever. But this sort of inability to dissect reality properly and to, more importantly, distinguish between the phantasms of the mind, these confabulations, is the primary reason why you have this phenomenon, right? Now, let's tie into something else. This idea that women are just not interested in men the way they used to be, or a certain type of man. That's absolutely true. But the reason for that lies in the fact that women are hypersensitive, not necessarily in a good way, to environmental shifts. Shift the environment, specifically the mating market, and then you have a total overhaul of what's deemed acceptable, good, and worthwhile. Now, on top of that, it's very likely, and you'll have people such as William Costello, this is this evolutionary psychologist who studies inkwells, even concede that it might very well have been the case back in the day, and back in the day means thousands of years, that women were shacking up men, not because they particularly liked the men, but because they had to. They say necessity is the mother of all invention, but perhaps necessity is more likely the mother of all procreation in some sense. At least it was for quite some time. And so women probably weren't particularly thrilled to be together with men they were together with. They did so out of necessity. Then they have all these fictions in their minds that sort of interfere and blur reality for them. And you put those together with the crazy fast lifestyle of modernity, even starting back in the 80s, because a lot of this stuff actually begins in the 80s. The nutty dating stuff, people think erroneously that it started with dating apps or what have you, but there's a precedent that goes way back, over 40 years. And you end up with a powder keg, because it's not possible long term. Sure, as a short-term investment, if you're Chad, I mean, definitely you can get some punani. The women will fawn over you. There's no question about that, obviously. But long term, right? You ever hear the seven-year itch? You know where that comes from. Well, in most cases, the so-called seven-year itch comes from the women's dissatisfaction, general discontent with the relationship, not being in accordance with what her imagination is telling her it should be. That's the origin of its only-year turn. Women are fickle, they're hormonal, they generally have a much larger selection of potential mates than men do, obviously. But I think ultimately, it's this imaginary quantity to their thoughts, the fact that they get so meshed up in fanfics and weird romance novels and films that then dictate their lives to a large degree. I mean, you know the film, you Eat, Love, and Pray, the sort of mentality of sort of somehow my ethereal thoughts will transfer onto reality and I will be able to overcome my problems through pure thought and wishful thinking, right? And again, I think it's very important to point out that this is not just applicable to romantic relationships with women. Female relationships are plagued, perhaps even more so than romantic ones because they're more frequent, with these sorts of, oh, she didn't say X, but she should have said Y. Or she didn't give consideration to Y and instead did Z. Or she didn't compliment me on my dress or whatever. All these things or all these cues you're supposed to engage in. And the women half the time are not even aware that these expectations are just kind of almost being randomly generated in their heads. They just act on impulse, on the instinct, as it were. And it also applies to sibling relationships and parental relationships and you name it. There isn't a single relationship, whether it's romantic, familial, friendship, or work relationships for that matter, where this superimposition of the imaginary world of their thoughts gets applied to reality itself, and other people end up paying the piper for this. Now, obviously, very young children are probably not subjected to this on average, although I'm sure there's some women that do subject their infants to some sort of imaginary thought process of expectations. Who knows, behaviorally speaking? But hey, we all know the phenomenon of the son turned husband, so to speak, right? Where the son effectively becomes a husband in all his duties and obligations to the mother, and women living their lives to their daughters and this sort of thing. I mean, it also happens to their children when they get older, this sort of imaginary expectation of how things ought to be and how they should be versus how they actually are. Ultimately, this is the source of so much conflict between men and women. Ultimately, this is the source of why relationships have no constancy, no persistence. Sure, all these other factors count, you know, looks or lack thereof. People are more obese than ever. There are more options for women than ever. There's this, that, and the third. Sure, all these are contributing factors. But if you don't look at the underlying psychology, that aspect of female psychology that is, I try to see a positive side to it, but I struggle. It is ultimately quite destructive to every type of human relationship you can imagine. You're not going to understand the core of why these things just don't work out. Now, if we go back to the article, she doesn't say why she got divorced, but I could well imagine. And we could probably take an educated guess that she was the one who divorced. And probably not because he cheated, if I had to guess, but because, well, you know, he just wasn't pulling his weight in some imaginary capacity and she was dissatisfied and she needed to move on. And if you read through the article, which again, do at your own peril, I'm not recommending it, you'll see it's so much of this weird, like I said, female confection of free-flowing thought and reality foreign whateverisms that you'll know exactly what I mean when you read through it. But this is not unique to 54-year-old women. This begins as early as girls become girls throughout their teenage years, their 20s, their 30s, their 40s, their 50s. Obviously going to be some variation and fluctuation of this imaginary layer of thoughts throughout the different decades of their lives. But women never stop having these imaginary thoughts. And it is, unfortunately, a source of much suffering, not just for men and those around them, but to the women themselves, who are almost never aware of these intrusive thoughts they have that are distorting reality and ruining their own lives as well as other people's lives. Anyway, as always, thank you for tuning in. Many special thanks to my very generous patrons on Patreon and my generous donors on PayPal. You guys are the best. Without you, this channel absolutely could not exist. Your support is incredibly appreciated. Thank you so much. And if you can engage in the usual YouTube jazz of liking the video, sharing the video, leaving a comment, subbing, if you're not yet a subby, much appreciated as well. I'm still alive. I'll check you out then. Until then, may the gods truly watch over you. Bye-bye for now.
If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.